This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Driving right on through 617 on your Thursday morning. Hard to believe it's already Thursday. Loving that. Love that it's already Thursday. It feels like we were in Louisiana like a month ago.
Yeah, like it, because really it was like a month for 8 days in Louisiana, right?
Yeah. Like I'm caught up. I'm back into the normal swing of things.
Like, oh yeah, it's not. I'm just like the weather though is the one that's kind of bothering me. I'm snotting again for a whole week. I didn't have any like drip and all that kind
navage.
Of stuff. I did. Yeah. I have to. Yeah, I went for 8 days without navaging it, and now we're back, and all the stuff is just, you know, clogged in my face again because of how cold it is. So yeah, I got to get that navage back out there.
You need to
do that.
Need to take a hot bath with Epsom salt.
Oh, it's the best. The hot shower with those bath bombs, those shower bombs with like eucalyptus or lavender and all that kind of stuff clean you out. That's why I can't wait to go to the J after work today, sit in the steam room a little bit and kind of drain all of that nonsense out of you. So that's on the agenda. Oh, it's the best, man. Just clean yourself out. My God.
It just drain. This guy drained a take about Andy Reid. I'll let you guys listen, even though I'm sure you've already heard it.
Andy Reid should step down as head coach. And you're going to be like, they just went to the Super Bowl three times, Andy Reid, blah, 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 blah. This is not a one-game reaction because they lost.
Did he say what I think he said at the beginning?
Andy Reid should step down as head coach.
Okay.
And you're going to be like, they just went to the Super Bowl three times, Andy Reid, blah, 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 blah. This is not a one-game reaction because they lost in the Super Bowl and they got boat raced and it was 40-6. Where were the adjustments? Where was the game plan? I'm not a football coach.
No kidding. Mm-hmm.
Guys who are football coaches and questioned the game plan. No running game to start at all. And then you get behind. You got to pass. This is what he did in Philadelphia all the time. Pass happy. Always throwing the ball. They got tired of that in Philadelphia. Number two, this fall off the cliff is 2 years in the making. Last year, they won the Super Bowl, so it kind of covered up how bad things were. You remember with the receivers struggles and Patrick Mahomes. Here's another year. Andy Reid is supposed to be an offensive genius. Why is Patrick Mahomes struggling so much when you can't figure out a way to get him off and to get him to be not 50 touchdowns and throwing every ball downfield, mm-hmm. but way better? Can you admit that Patrick Mahomes hasn't been the same quarterback the last 2 years? Andy Reid is supposed to be that guy, and yet we haven't seen it. It's been a nice run. The last 2 years have been disappointing. Regular seasons. Yes, they went to the Super Bowl. Yes, both those times. And yeah, I'm not talking about the last 2 years. And this year, they got embarrassed.
There you go.
You just embarrassed yourself, pal. Who is that? Rob Parker of Fox Sports Radio?
Rob Parker.
Rob Parker.
Ron's dad.
Ron's dad is. Yeah.
Remember that cheese plate?
Oh, I remember Ron Parker.
Him. Yeah. Ron Parker?
Yeah, Ron. Oh, yeah. I remember old Ron Parker.
You ever get cooked on defense?
Yeah, that guy just got cooked with a sports take. I mean, like, what do I add to that, right? Like, I just texted you guys two words, effing moron. And that's really the only way to kind of sum it up. I feel bad for guys like that who are kind of nondescript media guys that have to go and give takes like Andy Reid should retire and then proceedingly talk about this Chiefs team like he's never watched a game. I'm going to bet that Ron Parker probably never watched one full regular season game of the Kansas City Chiefs over the last 3 years. He sat and watched Red Zone. He got his highlights from ESPN. And then he gathered his information by what, you know, people are saying from the talking head world about this Kansas City Chiefs team. Andy Reid is a genius. And the last 5 years has proven that Andy Reid is a genius because of how they've had to reinvent the offense every single year because of injury or lack of production or things that change over time. Andy Reid is constantly evolving and changing this offense and doing things to try to figure out ways to make this offense better. The man went to 3 straight Super Bowls, and that Jackassian comment right there that, well, they went to the Super Bowl, it covered up what was going wrong because they won the Super Bowl. Yeah, winning the Super Bowl pretty much does cover up everything. Nobody focuses on things that are going wrong because you were the champions of the world. And so this guy, Rob Parker from Fox Sports Radio, arguably the dumbest take that I've heard probably in the last 25 years. And I don't know, and I'm not being hyperbolic here. I can't think of anything more ignorant, ridiculous, and stupid that's ever been uttered than what this Ron Parker guy said at Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, I mean, look, blowout losses in big games tend to cause a, not necessarily like a negative rift in sports media, but interesting ones, because since this blowout loss, which, again, congratulations to the Eagles. Like, you won the Super Bowl.
You won.
But, like, they lost the three-peat, which is massive,
yeah,
which is beyond what you could have possibly imagined if it were to happen. Like, beyond. It's never happened in the NFL for a reason, because it's just insanely hard to do. It's a three-leg parlay that you're never ever going to land. And because of how the NFL just evolves in current times. Now, the best time that you could have three-peated was when Dallas and Pittsburgh and San Francisco were doing it.
Yeah, when it was a lot easier back in the day. Yeah.
And nowadays, the talent at quarterback and the talent that gets, you know, brought up in waves, like, for instance, for a while it was running backs, and then it was receivers, and then it was quarterbacks, and then it'll be defensive ends, and then it'll be, you know, the draft. Watch how the draft fluctuates. Like Binkley was talking yesterday, there were, what, 8 tackles and guards, or 8 line, maybe it was 8 guards last year taken in the draft. It's an all-time record.
Mm-hmm.
This year he said there might be 6.
Right.
And then, you know, there'll be one year where the Chiefs fortunately finally get to pick number 1 overall, and they have to take Eric Fisher.
Right.
And then the next year somebody will get the first overall pick, and it's Josh Allen or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
And the way the NFL works, it's just, it's insanely tough. It's just like when Brady and the Patriots were going to go undefeated, and then they didn't go undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that loss was more catastrophic because, A, they lost in the Super Bowl to a team that they were better than. I think we can all agree they were the best team in football. And then, 2, the undefeated season's over. Like, it's just, and there's no championship. It's not like you lost it in week 16 or you lost it week 11, you lost it in the Super Bowl.
And
then everybody's
like,
well, Brady's 30. Like, you know, they've cheated in the past. Like, will the band stay together? And then the Chiefs lose this Super Bowl. They lose a three-peat. They get blown out again in a Super Bowl. And it's clearly one-sided as to why they got blown out. It was just like their offensive line was bad. And Patrick Mahomes had to do things that he couldn't do and try to do it. So it made him look like he had a really, really bad game, which he did not have a good game. Might have been his worst game of his entire career.
There's no doubt.
Full
game. Yeah.
And part of that is because of what had fallen apart. A lot of that can be adjusted, but a lot of that is, like we had mentioned before, it's like a fight. Like, you can, you know, put the hot iron to the eye. You can put the goop and the Vaseline over the cut. Like, that's going to protect it temporarily, but all it's going to take is another good hit to that, and it's opened up and it's exposed. And that's exactly what happened to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And, like, you can give Andy Reid all the trouble you want. 15-2 in the regular season, 11-6 the year before, still went to 2 Super Bowl, went to 3 straight Super Bowls, won 2 of them. And to have a take like that, like, is astronomically terrible to think that he should retire and that the team has fallen off a cliff because they got outmatched in one game.
In one
that
game.
That so happened to be the most popular game.
And the one game that guy watched, too.
Right. So yes, you can have your takes of like, does Mahomes need to change the way he plays quarterback after what we saw with what is seems to be his kryptonite, which is an athletic front, which I'd love to see any quarterback survive that. And I mean, Matthew Stafford barely did.
Mm-hmm.
Daniels didn't. And then Mahomes didn't.
They had a great defensive front that was very much like the defensive front that got after Tom Brady in that Super Bowl when the Patriots were going for that 17-0 mark, right?
And it's just one of those things. So, like, to say that take about Andy Reid is egregiously dumb.
Yeah.
To say that Andy Reid now has more competition coaching-wise because people have found their niche, that's fine. To say that, like, hey, Nick Sirianni should be getting more respect because he went toe-to-toe with the great one and he was absolutely flawless. Okay,
fine.
That might be egregious, but it merits it after that game that you saw. To say that you need to step down and that you've fallen off a cliff, check yourself.
Yeah, dude. I mean, like it's just one of the more ridiculous statements that I've ever heard in anything, and I'm not even including sports. And there's a lot of dumb things that get said every day, right? Mm-hmm. That guy right there is absolutely ignorant. And I look back and I wonder to myself, who handles losses worse, the media when the Chiefs lose or the Chiefs when they lose? Because the Chiefs did not handle themselves great on Sunday during that loss. There was a lot of pouting going on, as there should have been. They were getting their asses handed to them on national TV in the Super Bowl. But then you see the reaction of the media after the game. I mean, it really is like the on to Cincinnati moment for the New England Patriots after they lost here the day before the wild card game in 2014. And people were writing Tom Brady off. We're quick to bring somebody to the top. We're quick to celebrate people. And we're very quick, if not quicker, to try to knock them down a peg. And people were waiting with their bated breath for Patrick Mahomes to have that moment where he did not win in the Super Bowl and where Andy Reid did not win in the Super Bowl, where they could come off the top rope and pile drive the Chiefs into the ground because they've been waiting to have, you know, these dumb takes. And it just hasn't lent itself to that because all they do is win, 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 as the song likes to go. They lost in the Super Bowl. It doesn't mean they're a dead dynasty. It doesn't mean this franchise is over. It doesn't mean contraction. It doesn't mean Andy Reid should be fired or retire. It doesn't mean they should trade Patrick Mahomes. that comment right there, I mean, yes, we're going to see some changes this offseason. We talked a lot about it yesterday. But that comment right there is part of the reason why people don't like sports media, right? Like he is a bad look for our industry. And I do take that a little bit personal because we walk around all the time. And I don't think for the most part, every once in a while, maybe we have a take that somebody doesn't agree with. But I think we work hard enough where we're not out there hot taking it like this guy is to gain national attention and whatnot. And then when guys like that go out there and I have to hear about the sports radio this and sports radio that, it's a direct reflection on my profession. And so when guys are out there not doing their homework and uttering dumb stuff, I do take it personal. And Ron Parker with Fox Sports Radio or whoever he's with these days, this guy just is absolutely setting the industry back. And I think it does suck because there's a lot of people in this industry, a lot that we got in contact with over the last week down in New Orleans who work their ass off, who put together good shows, who don't sit there and say dumb things and hope to be noticed on social media. And so that's where Ron Parker falls into this category for me. Ignorant, ignorant, ignorant. And there's no other way to put it. And it's an insult to this profession that I know nobody respects because of guys like him.
Yeah, just, you know, see your way out, sir. And come back whenever you have something that makes a little bit more sense.
Did he have a solution? Because after that comment, I couldn't listen much longer to what he said. Did he lay out his solution for who should replace Andy Reid? How they should go about fixing this team, which moves they need to make or anything like that? Probably not, because that would require effort and work and homework and the ability to find out who could potentially come in here and be better than Andy Reid. It's easier just to say nonsensical stuff on the radio like Ron Parker did.
You think Belichick would coach the Chiefs? Just kidding.
Yes, I think he would.
For sure.
I think he'd leave North Carolina tomorrow. Hey, Bill, how'd you like to coach the Chiefs? Sweet.
You get Patrick Mahomes for 10 more years.
Yeah. Belichick, like in a wheelchair, eating tapioca in his 80s, ringing the bell, trying to coach, you know, Patrick Mahomes. That'd be awesome.
So someone on the text line alludes to this, that it's baseball season, boys. Yep, that's what we do.
Yep.
We teeter-totter from football to baseball because that's what we get to do nowadays. Because that's what the season calls for. And you said that you would do this trade in a heartbeat?
I would, yeah. I like Cedric Mullins a lot, man. Why? A one-for-one swap, Cedric Mullins for Hunter Harvey, I'd do that in a minute. I would have no problem doing that. We have no outfield right now, and we need bats. And so anytime you have the opportunity to get a good bat, I would go out there and do it. I like Cedric Mullins a lot. I think he's a good player. He's better than anybody that's in the outfield right now for this organization. You went out and you added to the bullpen. You've got some arms back there. You might as well, you know, try to go out there and make a big splash. And it's not anything that's really truly being considered. You know, one of these websites, SB Nation, kind of proposed this trade. And I like it, man. You always have to try to get better. And I think Cedric Mullins makes your outfield better than what you have right now.
Yeah, I don't think so. This is a move that I don't like because the only good year he's had is in 2021. Ever since then, he's been about a 230, 225 hitter. That's the Royals outfield bat we've always had. We've always had that outfield bat. That's essentially MJ Melendez, 230, 25 home runs. That's what this guy does. His slash line isn't that great. It's Hunter Harvey, I think, gives you a better chance at winning than this guy does because pitching is more important than bats. If this guy was Traxton Profar, then yes, I would do that in a heartbeat. Cedric Mullins is a nobody. In fact, he's getting pushed out because the Baltimore Orioles just have a great general manager that knows how to draft and develop players in their system. So that's basically the root of this article was saying that like he's getting pushed out because he's facing his arbitration year this year and they don't want to sign him because he had 1 year where he hit 30 home runs and actually hit above his weight. Every year since then, he's hit like 230, maybe 240 was his highest after that, but he's just, if it was somebody that like moved the needle, then I'm okay. And if you're going to, and I get it, this guy's going to, he's nobody so far either, but Joey Weimer's the other guy they got in the trade that they sent Brady Singer to the Reds for.
Right.
When they got India, they also got this Weimer guy, which a lot of people are like, well, maybe he could be like the Wade Davis in the James Shields trade.
Man.
I wouldn't get your hopes up. He's an outfielder that's like basically been in the league for 2 years. It just was kind of like a package deal. But again, we go back to your point yesterday about the Royals and trades and why people shouldn't be handcuffed to certain players.
Yeah.
I do think, and I know this is a wild assumption, but I think there's a really good possibility Jack Caglione makes the roster and makes a major league debut, makes his debut this year.
Yeah, I don't think that's a chance at all.
This year?
Yeah.
You don't think
he
makes his debut at all this year?
I don't think so. I think they slow play it, let him get an entire year under his belt before we rush him up to the big league level. Now, I could be totally wrong. Like, he could light the world on fire like Paul Skeens did, and then all of a sudden you see him up here. But
And the thing is, he's not a 17-year-old kid.
Right.
He played college ball.
Right.
He knows how to play the sport. Paul Skeens also wasn't a high school kid. He played college ball.
Also very rare that you see a guy immediately get
for
up to the big leagues because for financial reasons, obviously, we keep all these guys
down.
But
the way the game is moving, it is a young man's sport. And you talk about guys like Bobby Witt Jr., Eily De La Cruz, Tatis Jr., all those guys. Like that
Acuna.
That was the wave, and that continues to be the wave.
Could you imagine a Royals team with Acuna and Bobby Witt?
Because
it could have happened. No, it would.
He's Escobar's cousin.
Yeah, the Royals were right there, and then at the end, Atlanta came in and gave him money. And I talked to somebody yesterday. I said, if you guys did get Acuna, would you have drafted Bobby Witt? And the answer was, this is some old folks. It was like, we would have absolutely drafted Bobby. Could you imagine Acuna and Bobby Witt in this lineup together? Oh my God.
Yeah, it'd be insane. Ugh. You'd have short side. The left side of your field, you wouldn't need out. You wouldn't even need an outfield.
We wouldn't have this conversation right now, yeah.
But I think Caglione can make the roster this year. And I think there's two reasons why. One, he's played college ball and he fits the trend of current major league players. Two, if you are so low-strapped in outfield talent and this kid is doing stuff that just is better than what we've seen so far in the major league level, then I don't know why you wouldn't bring him up. Because if you are serious about this team and you think that they do have a chance to make a move this year, even more so than they did last year, then let this kid be part of that roster. If he does have that power and he has that arm, you have right field sealed. Your left fielder is going to be MJ Melendez until otherwise notified. And then center field is
Bono.
You know, Isbell, wherever you want to go, right? That's, you know, the Bono reference there.
Mm-hmm.
Or you do what you always say, Bob Fesco, and that is if you don't think Caglione's going to make the roster this year and you don't think he's going to play, then you go get your haul for that.
Yeah, but I also think...
Is that your Will Myers trade?
He definitely is. Yeah, you don't have a lot of those guys in the system right now. I think it's him and that the catcher that they have down there right now. Carter Jensen, is that the kid's name?
Caglione's a top five prospect in baseball. Yeah, he's a number one prospect in the Royals organization.
And
he's Will Myers.
Yeah, oh yeah. And if you could trade him and get proven guys back in return, 100% I'm in on doing that. I have no problem, you know, flipping Jack Caglione if it means you get proven Major League Baseball players back in return. Absolutely. I just think at this point in time, you're probably not going to get a great haul back for anybody because most of Major League Baseball is skittish on trading right now. Like, I know for a fact JJ would like to be wheeling and dealing, right? He'd like to go out there and be that blackjack dealer and do all that. There's not a lot of teams in baseball right now that want to trade. And it's kind of been a trickle-down effect that we've seen over the last 5 to 10 years where analytics have taken over the game, the scouts have taken over the game, and I've heard from numerous people in baseball that, look, a lot of these general managers are afraid to make moves because they don't want to get the blowback that comes from the social media and all the minor league dorks that are out there right now. So there's not a lot of trading. Not like when we were kids growing up in major.
That's sad if that's
no,
true.
No, I know, but when you that's hear that from sad. People who work in baseball and that's what the word
they're
is
worried
on
about somebody
they
tweeting are, that it was a bad
absolutely
move.
They are worried about
then
all
we're
of
doomed
that
as a society though.
Well, I don't disagree with that. That's another story for another day.
I mean,
but I have heard from people in front offices in baseball that there a lot of these young guard GMs do not want to make moves. They all want to hoard their prospects and they don't want to hear the social blowback from trading minor leaguers, which is absolutely ridiculous, and that's why it's so hard right now for a guy like J.J. Piccolo, who's willing to go out there and make moves and to make trades, to make those moves, because the majority of teams in baseball just don't want to trade their players right now. And if you trade Jack Caglione, you get two great players back in return. You go on to win a World Series, and Jack Caglione goes on to have a great career. So what? You still went on and won a World Series, and that's ultimately what it's about. So I don't hate that idea. I don't hate bringing him up either. I'd love to see it. But in like baseball, just for whatever reason, at 22, you can play in the NFL. At 18, you can play in the NBA. But God forbid we bring a Major League Baseball player up who hasn't had 6 years in the minors, you know, and that's in where baseball, I think, has their biggest disconnect from their fans, because all these other sports have these drafts. You bring these young players, you see them right away. Baseball has drafts. You forget about all these players. And then 6 years later, they bring these guys up. You're like, oh, yeah, they drafted that guy back in '05. You know, it's like it's crazy how baseball works. I'm not against bringing Jack Caglione up. I'd love to see him on the opening day roster. I just don't know that that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, your outfielders as of right now are Melendez, Kyle Isbell, and Hunter Renfro.
You need help. You need help, right? Now, yeah. I heard MJ's been knocking the cover off the ball in spring training, or not spring training, but in winter warm-up or whatever you want to call it. But again, you got to do that on the field. You got to produce when it matters most. And I think you and I are on the same page. I'd trade MJ to the Yankees because that's a perfect swing for him and see what you can get back in return from New York. Maybe you can trade him and get Giancarlo Stanton one up for MJ.
Am I? Huh? I didn't. I'm reading Annie Rogers' article of MLB.com. She's the beat writer for the Royals. The Royals have Kevin Biggio?
Yeah, they signed him to a minor league deal.
Like I must have been asleep when that happened.
Well, we were in the middle of football season.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that slipped.
So but he fell down the pecking order big time. Yeah. I'd love to see him rebound. It'd be great if we could see
that's another one. Like his prospect, obviously being the son of Craig, was like through the roof.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say the same about because they did Vlad Guerrero Jr., Kevin Biggio, and Bichette. Bichette and Guerrero had panned out, I think, to what they were. I think Bichette was probably supposed to be a little bit
better
what they thought, but he's still got that superstar power that's there, just not fully there. And Guerrero's been fine.
Yeah.
Kevin Biggio. And then your starting rotation next year. Cole Reagan, Seth Lugo, Michael Walker, Lorenzen, and Bubic.
Yeah, what about Kyle Wright? Like the Bubic one, everybody's just sliding into the mix. Yeah, the guy who had Tommy John a year ago, but they traded him for this year.
He's still there.
He's still around. Like, I think he could earn a spot in the rotation. Alec Marsh is behind schedule, I saw this morning as well, which I don't like to hear that. And
I think he's just gonna be your reliever guy.
Probably, right? So. Yeah. But why is Bubic? And I somebody got to explain that one to me. Maybe you have a good reason. Why is he getting, like, all of a sudden slotted into the rotation on that? Because I thought he was really good in the bullpen last year. Like, I thought he found kind of his.
You need a fifth starter.
But Kyle Wright could be that guy, right?
Yeah, but I think Bubich has earned it.
Okay, maybe.
I mean, Bubich was a starter, got a loss of it because of Tommy John, came back, pitched an entire year in a bullpen situation where he had high leverage, mm-hmm. which I think we all knew that he could possibly make the move. And then you made moves to your bullpen. So, like, in addition by subtraction, like, you went and got more closers and you added a fifth starter. Plus, I think Bubich is deserving to be that guy because your bullpen as right now is Marsh, Irsaeg, Estevez, Hunter Harvey, Chris Stratton, John Schreiber.
Who's banged up too right now.
Angel Zerpa, Sam Long.
Yeah. Which Wait, really, who's the general? Who was the guy that was the general last year? That's the guy who's banged up right now. MacArthur.
Yeah, James MacArthur, Evan Sisk, and Steven Cruz as well as the pitchers building up his starters in the camp so that could be there. There's also Carlos Hernandez also has options as well. But again, like, I don't know. Yeah, you need an outfield bat.
Yeah.
Do I go trade for one? I don't know. Do I let the regulars? Because the infield's set. I mean, Michael Garcia's playing third base, but India's at second. Bobby's at short.
Yeah.
Vinny's at first. Sal's catching.
Like, and it's not for lack of effort. I mean, they tried to sign Santander, and it didn't work out.
He's supposed to go play, and where career's going to die.
Yeah, Toronto, yeah. They, yeah. I mean, the Royals made a nice offer to Santander, and he took the one in Toronto, so be it. So it's not because of lack of effort. It's just they've been out there. They're looking for that outfield bat. It just has to happen, right? It's just like you just have to say, I guess, hope that you find that bat. Or, you know, MJ Melendez steps up his game to another level, and then that's where they need to go, right? I mean, that'd be great.